Good evening. It is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell. The ghosts of the SS Keewatin were busy last weekend. Nearly 200 visitors boarded the historic Edwardian steamship at the Great Lakes Museum for its first ever Halloween event, Lock and Key. The museum's visitor experience manager, Claire Notman, sat down with CFRC to recap the evening.
So the number of attendees absolutely exceeded our expectations. This is the very first Halloween event on this ship. It is our very first event on the ship, so you never know how that's going to go. You hope you've appealed to a wide range of people, but you never know how it's going to go. But we sold out our first four of six time slots before the event even started, so it was fantastic, the response.
Visitors took part in an interactive quest to recover the captain's lost key, hidden by mischievous Halloween spirits.
So of course the ship was very well decorated for Halloween. Spooky, not scary, but we've got some animatronics on there. And folks were able to book into a 1 hour time slot starting at 3 o'clock and going until 8 o'clock. And their job was to solve puzzles to get to a final solution as to who or where the spirits of Halloween had hidden the key to the Keewatin.
Can you tell us where that key was? That
is done. I'm curious. Yep, so people discovered that the key was hidden in the boiler.
Guests got into the spirit, exploring the ship's spookified interior.
Throughout the night, I was able to talk to people and listen to people's kind of discussions or, you know, as they were chatting with each other, solving the puzzles. And it was great. We had people who brought their toddlers. We had grandparents that brought their grandkids. We had groups of adults, and everybody seemed pretty satisfied with the kind of the level of difficulty. Some puzzles were a little bit more difficult than others, but everybody seemed to have a really great time. Lots of people in costume, which we love to see because that just, you know, it just enhances the whole event.
And the event didn't just thrill returning passengers, it brought a whole new crowd aboard.
I would say most of the people, so I want to say 80% of the people I spoke to, it was their first visit to the ship. And so what I love about that is that we've attracted kind of a new type of demographic, if you want to say that, like people who maybe think, you know, well, what do I want to do getting on an old ship? Like, what's the big deal? But I love Halloween events, so I'm going to go to this Halloween event. So that makes me really excited for the different things that we can do to attract different people to the museum and the ship and get them really interested in the amazing heritage and history we have here in Kingston.
That success, Claire says, is already inspiring future programming.
This absolutely paves the way for more events on the ship, particularly Halloween, but also through our operating season in the spring and summer. And I have to mention that we are so grateful to the Government of Canada, who funded restoration of the SS Keewatin through FedDev Ontario. So without that kind of funding for restorations for the ship, we wouldn't be able to let as many people on or let people on at all. So we're really grateful for that funding.
So it seems the Keewatin may have found a new seasonal tradition. For those still looking to meet the spirits of the SS Keewatin, The Haunted Walk has announced new fall dates for their Ghosts of the SS Keewatin Tales from the Great Lakes tours. Kingston's own John Wright has been recognized with the 2025 Lifetime Achievement Award from the Tourism Industry Association of Ontario, honoring a career that shaped not only Kingston's tourism and entertainment scene, but the province's. The award was presented on Tuesday at the Ontario Tourism Summit in Ottawa. Wright's career began in Kingston's radio scene more than four decades ago, where he built Eastern Ontario's top stations. His work later expanded to the acquisition and development of Kingston's Thousand Islands Cruises and Kingston Trolley Tours. Alongside many other landmarks in the city, Wright also developed the Waterfront Confederation Place Hotel and led the charge on major downtown revitalization projects, including the push for downtown's large venue entertainment center, now known as Slush Puppy Place. His longtime colleague Hugh McKenzie, who worked with John and Kim Wright for over three decades, says John's impact has always come down to his leadership style.
He inspired, he mentored me, he always sort of put the ball back to me and say, well, how would we do this? What do you want to do here? And that type of stuff. He was amazing at building leaders, put the ball in the hands of aspiring young talent, and but again, behind the scenes, he was always supportive, bringing on ideas, bringing on challenges, and then letting the talent that we were developing, he's always investing in mentoring and developing talent, and this is how he's able to influence so many things across the community.
Mackenzie says Wright's influence extends well beyond the businesses he's built.
John's one of those really important behind-the-scenes players. He plants seeds and then works with the talent to inspire people to collaborate, not just within the organization, but across the community.
I was wondering if you could kind of speak to what you think it is that makes John stand out so much in this industry.
Vision, mentorship, and leadership. John always told me, what's good for Kingston is good for our enterprise, whether it was the Bowline or K-Rock. So Kingston outperformed almost in every metric in tourism, and certainly across the province and not across the country. And that's why John's influence has been so impactful.
And while Wright may not have sought the spotlight himself, Mackenzie says this award cements his legacy.
Well, I think it's brought his name to the fore in a way, as I discussed earlier, he would never have aspired to. So when we look at the how well his enterprises have done, we think of at the forefront. You know, is it Hugh McKenzie? Is it Glenn Williams? Is it Eric Ferguson? But it's that element of, no, now we see John Touchstone on so many aspects of Kingston and the province and things that are at a national level in terms of comparative performance. It would not have happened without John.
With his work connecting Kingston by airwaves, water, and trolley lines, Wright has charted a course for Kingston's tourism and culture unlike any other. That wraps up your headlines for this evening. Next up is Henry Walker with your campus news for this week.
Thank you, Chris. This is Henry Walker with CFRC 101.9's Campus Beat, bringing you Queen's Campus News. As Halloween celebrations come to an end, the Queen's campus is transitioning back into its regular rhythm. This year's festivities brought the usual mix of student gatherings, costumes, and many events. Kingston Police reported a relatively calm weekend with only minor disturbances connected to the celebrations. With the end of Halloween, the University District Safety Initiative, and the three-weekend-long midterm party season, Queen's campus seems to be looking back into its final half-term of the 2025 school year, with exams now almost only a month away. In relation to that, Queen's University and the City of Kingston recently reminded the campus and broader Kingston community about the conclusion of the University District Safety Initiative, UDSI, which ran from October 17th to November 2nd during the university's homecoming weekend, FOCO weekend, and this past Halloween weekend. The initiative increased bylaw and police presence in the University District to help ensure celebrations remain safe and respectful for students, alumni, and local residents. In other news, students living in Waldron Tower were left shaken last week after a break-in early on October 25th. According to reporting, a distressed man not affiliated with the university entered the residence around 5 a.m. in the morning, breaking windows on the first floor and second floor before being taken into custody by Kingston Police and transported for psychiatric evaluation. Several residents reported being awakened by loud noises and shouting, with one student reporting that they had to lock themselves in the laundry room and contact peers through their floor group chat while police responded. Queens Residence Life and Housing confirmed that no students were injured and that a review of security measures at Waldron Tower is underway. The building currently has keycard entry, locked glass doors, and exterior lighting with 24-hour campus patrols. Officials say additional safety enhancements are being considered following this incident. Campus security and emergency services are reminding students to familiarize themselves with building safety protocols and to reach out for support through student wellness services if needed. Looking ahead, the African and Caribbean Students Association, ACSA, in conjunction with CFRC, will be hosting a cultural music event this Wednesday, November 6th, at the Ale House Canteen. The evening will highlight Afrobeat, soca, and reggae genres that reflect the diverse identities within the Queens community. ACSA representative Jada Hunter shared that the event aims to celebrate community and cultural through sound, and invited all students to attend. Again, I've been Henry Walker, bringing you your Queens Campus Beat on CFRC 101.9. Stay tuned for more news, updates, and events.
This is Jesse Bell with your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. We begin with Monday, November 3rd, daytime high of 12 degrees with a 90% chance of precipitation, so more rainy weather in the forecast for the city of Kingston. Tuesday, November 4th, another 12 degree day, but this one is magnitudes nicer, sunny and breezy all day with an overnight low of 4 degrees. Wednesday, November 5th, 10 degrees is your high with a 70% chance of precipitation forecasted in the afternoon, dropping down to 2 degrees overnight. Thursday, November 6th, 7 degrees, partly sunny, 25% chance of rain, overnight low of 1 degree, so right around the freezing point. Friday, November 7th, 8 degrees with a 60% chance of precipitation in the afternoon, dropping down just a single degree to 7 overnight. Saturday, November 8th, 9 degrees with intervals of cloud and sunshine throughout the day, dropping down to 5 overnight. Sunday, November 9th, daytime high of 9, 75% chance of rain in the morning, otherwise just kind of cloudy and gray. And moving into the start of next week, Monday, November 10th, daytime high of just 5, dropping down to 0 overnight. This is your City of Kingston traffic report for the week. We begin with road closures. Aberdeen Street, William 2 Johnson is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Albert Street, Princess 2 Mac is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging at 484 Albert Street. Berry Street, Bagot to Union, closed November 3rd to 7th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. each day to accommodate operations. Berry Street, Queen to Colborne, closed for construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street. Brass Point Bridge, closed November 4th from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. for the replacement of bridge deck planks. Motorists are asked to plan their travel accordingly and exercise caution in the area. Earl Street, Collingwood to Toronto, closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Kings Court Avenue is closed until November 21st at Concession and First for gas main installation by a Utilities Kingston contractor. Raglan Road, Division to Main, is closed until November 30th from 7:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. each day for a gas main installation. Toronto Street, Durham to Park, is closed November 3rd to November 28th for installation of new water, sanitary, and storm services. University, Union to Stewart, is closed November 3rd at 7 a.m. to November 4th at 7 p.m. to dismantle a tower crane. Victoria Street, Union to Johnson, is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Here are some other delays to be aware of. Bayridge Drive, Milford to Henderson, expect delays for the construction of new active transportation infrastructure and intersection upgrades. Catwoods Drive, Centennial to Gardeners, expect delays for the construction of a new multi-use pathway. Front Road, Sand Bay to Country Club, expect delays for the installation of sanitary and water main for Utilities Kingston. Traffic will be reduced to one lane in each direction. Highway 15, Kingston Mills to Middle, expect delays for a contractor to complete work on the Highway 15 CNR overhead structure. John Marks Avenue and Innovation Drive, expect delays while a contractor mobilizes to start work on John Marks Ave, Innovation Drive, and Discovery Ave. Work includes curb, sidewalk, asphalt milling, and repaving. Lancaster Drive, Limestone to Jasper. expect delays while a contractor completes construction of a new sidewalk and road improvements. Montreal at John Counter, expect delays for upgrades to the intersection, including new lighting, traffic signals, lanes, paving, and signage to improve safety and efficiency for all road users. Taylor Kidd Boulevard, Collins Bay to Coronation, expect delays until November 7th at 7 p.m. for the replacement of two culverts. Trudell Road, development to Danbury, expect delays while a contractor completes road and sidewalk improvements. And Victoria Street and Earl Street, expect delays while a contractor mobilizes to site to start work on the second phase of reconstruction of sewer, water main, sidewalks, and road.
Hey, you're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM. My name is Ellie MacArthur, a CFRC intern from the Queen's Department of History, and it's time for our concerts calendar for November 3rd through the 9th. If you had a crazy Halloween weekend, ease into your week on Monday with Jazz Society Jam at the RCHA starting at 4:30 p.m. Also on Monday at the Cove Inn, check out Monday Musical Residency Series featuring Jonathan Jones starting at 5 p.m. Moving into Tuesday, catch Tom's Tuesday Afternoon Happy Hour Jam at the RCHA from 4 to 7 p.m. and Roots Tuesdays featuring Sarah Siegel-Lazar at the Cove Inn starting at 5 p.m. Open Mic with Carrick McAllister is at Jersey Sports Bar starting at 7 p.m. On Wednesday, we have some guaranteed good times with Chris Murphy at the RCHA from 7 p.m. At the Creekside Bar, Christopher Jackson starting at 6 p.m., and open mic at Hotel Wolf Island with special guests Hollow Body and Jay Harris starting at 7:30, so hop on the ferry. There's some nights where you wish you could be two places at once, and Thursday is one of those nights. Last Call, Rust Pump, and Dutch Baby are at the Toucan starting at 9:30 p.m. Leanne, Bettis, and Mosake Simpson and Boyhood are at the Broom Factory at 7:30 p.m. Jeff Dunn is at the RCHA at 7 p.m. Clear Breeze, instrumental groove-oriented jazz and bossa nova classics is at Hotel Wolf Island starting at 6 p.m. Grand on Stage presents James Barker Band and Zach Bakie at the Kingston Grand Theater starting at 7:30 p.m. Culture Reject is at Musiki starting at 8 p.m. and Original Thursdays with Kent Nicholson is at the Cove Inn at 5 p.m. On Friday, see the master at work, Ken Yates, at the Broom Factory starting at 7:30 p.m. Grand on Stage presents Elisa P at the Kingston Grand Theater at 7:30 p.m., who is a Canadian Inuk musician. She blends tradition and modernity in her music and is an absolute must-see. The Sitting Ducks play the RCHA at 8 p.m. Scott Owen plays the Creekside Bar at 6 p.m. Simon Kempston at Hotel Wolf Island at 8:30. Retro Riffs at KNR Sports Bar at 8 p.m. For some hairography, you know them and you love them, Rust Pump plays with Sleep on the Couch and the Bends at the Merchant at 10:30 p.m. It's the Goose's Loose Tour 2025 with Rogue Rising, Pull the Curtains, Slack and Idle at Overtime Sports Bar starting at 9 p.m. And Michael Capon is on the pipe organ at St. James Anglican Church. This starts at 5 p.m. On Saturday, November 8th, catch Georgia Hammer and Sister Ray at the Broom Factory starting at 7:30 p.m. For a night of fun with friends, catch The Trifecta, Last Call, Doghouse, and Dutch Baby at the Merchant at 10:30 p.m. There are no in-person tickets for this event. Tickets can be found through the band's websites. Also on Saturday at the Grad Club starting at 8:30 p.m. is Cabbage and Brass Over Tea Kettle. It's a stacked night at the Mansion with Passenger Princess, Monarch, Seth Hunt, and Echoes starting at 8 p.m. And Harmon E's Afterlife album release tour is at the Mansion at 10:30. It's a nice and easy Sunday with Youth Open Mic at the Broom Factory from 1 to 3 p.m. Sundays with Eric and Megan, Folk Duo at the Cove Inn starting at 5 p.m. Kim Pollard live at the Loaf and Ale Pub, Napanee starting at 5 p.m. And finally, the open mic with Steve G at Time Out Bar starting at 7 p.m. Thank you so much for joining me this week. If you have a concert that you would like to add to our online or on-air event calendar, reach out today via cfrc.ca or at CFRC Music on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. How's it going? I'm Ellie MacArthur, a CFRC intern from the Queen's Department of History, and you're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM. It's time for our events calendar for the week. Everyone needs some mental stimulation after this Halloween weekend, so start off your week right with Trivia Night at Something in the Water Brewing at 8 p.m. If you're looking to donate some old clothes or pick some up, the Children's Clothing Swap is at McIntosh Quarry Hall, room B176, from 1 to 2:30 p.m. on Tuesday. Indigenous Drumming at Trellis HIV and Community Care Center goes from 1 to 3 p.m. The Kingston Public Market is at Spring Market Square from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. And of course, Jack's Tuesday Night Trivia starts at 7 p.m. Running Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday is the Gem and Mineral Sale at the Miller Museum in Miller Hall, room 100B, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. The first Wednesday of every month is the Open Stage Drag Show at the Grad Club starting at 8 p.m. And Holy Karaoke, it's karaoke at Jersey Sports Bar starting at 7 p.m., karaoke at Time Out Bar starting at 8 p.m., and if that's not enough, karaoke at the Mansion starts at 9 p.m. If you just couldn't make it to karaoke on Wednesday, on Thursday, catch karaoke at Tier 9 Og starting at 9 p.m. There's also trivia at Riverhead starting at 7 p.m. and trivia at the Queen's Pub starting at 9 p.m. on Thursday. On Thursday and Friday, Grand on Stage presents Fat Joke, Stand Up and Storytelling at Kingston Grand Theater starting at 7:30 p.m. Also on Friday, Rogue Studio of Dance has a showcase at La Vida Bistro Bar and Social starting at 8 p.m. And the Celtic Kitchen Party is at Tiernan Og starting at 9 p.m. On Saturday, November 8th, catch Lights on the Lake. Craig Jones at the Great Lakes Museum, fundraiser for Easter Seals Ontario, starting at 8 p.m. This is the third annual fundraiser. Also on Saturday, Through the Looking Glass Burlesque Troupe at the Royal Theatre Thousand Islands, starts at 8 p.m. Fascinating Rhythm, Cannibal Choirs of Kingston, Kyoto Odoga is at the Spire at 7:30 p.m. And on Sunday, catch Slash Need, Sled Performance Art Dance, and Visual Project by Evan Gordon at the Grad Club starting at 8 p.m. Family One Something's Fishy is at Kingston Grand Theater at 2:30 p.m. This is perfect for kids with slapstick, comedy, and music. And to close out the week, Karaoke at the Toucan is at 10:30 p.m. And those are our events for the week. Thank you so much for joining me. If you have an event that you would like to add to our online and on-air event calendar, you can reach out today via cfrc.ca or at cfrcmusic on Instagram using the link tree in our bio.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.